Verse 11, a certain man had two sons. When I read or hear about two sons, I automatically think of two things. The first one is Adam and Christ. They are the only two men who ever walked this earth that were not begotten of another man. Adam was not begotten at all. He was created. But Christ was begotten of God, not man. So these are the only two, Adam and Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:47, Paul said, the first man, Adam, is of the earth, earthy. The second man, Christ Jesus, is the Lord from heaven. Paul said in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam, all die. How many die? All that are in Adam. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. How many are made alive? All that are in Christ. And we're in Him from the foundation of the world. So that's my first thought of two sons, is Adam and Christ. Secondly, I think of God's elect as distinct from the rest of Adam's race. And we have this all the way through the scriptures. Two sons, Cain and Abel. Abel was in Christ, Cain wasn't. Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac was in Christ from before the foundation of the world. Ishmael wasn't. Esau and Jacob. Jacob was in Christ from the foundation of the world. Esau wasn't. And God Himself was bold enough to say, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So it's all the way through the Bible, on and on. The two sons in Matthew 21 and the two sons here in Luke 15. The elder son is clearly in Adam, representing all unregenerate humanity that hates Christ. And the younger son represents Christ, not as an individual, but as a representative person who, as it were, condescended, came into the hog pen of this world, not to stay, but to go back to the Father, back to the Father's house, and to take all His sheep with Him. It's a beautiful picture. But this morning I want to mention a few specifics about this young man as an individual and consider a sinner coming home. You see, the Father's house was home for this young man. The Father's house never was home for the elder brother. He never had the Father's heart. He never had the Father's interest in mind. He appears to be faithful for one reason, that it all might be his one day. That's all. And I'm sure he had a good reputation in the community. The neighbors all felt just wonderful about this elder son. What a good boy he is. But that other one run off and ain't nothing to him. But the motive of this elder son was to have it all. But now I want to mention some things about this younger son. Number one, he never ceased to be his father's son when he left home. Though he wanted to get away, he wanted to get out of that house, he wanted to get out from under his father's authority, he wanted to live his own life, the saying is. And that's what most people want today. That's what most young folks want today. Teenagers, young adults, want to get out on my own. Want to be my own person. Want to live my own life. but the relationship remained. He never ceased to be the Father's son when he left the Father's house. This Bible teaches that before God ever created the earth or created man or man fell, God himself chose a specific number of Adam's fallen race, yet being uncreated. He chose a specific number to be his children. Ephesians 1:4, Paul said, according as he, God the Father, hath chosen us, we who are brought to believe in him. He hath chosen us in him, that is in Christ, before the foundation of the world. So the Father's house is not a boarding house. It's a private family dwelling. The Father's house is not a prison. The Father's house is not an orphanage. It's a private dwelling of him and all the children he's begotten. Now, when Adam fell, God's children fell in him. But though fallen in Adam, God's children, chosen from eternity, did not cease to be God's children. Somebody said, well, why don't you become a child of God? You can't become a child of God. You're either his from eternity or you never will be. Have you had your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Too late. Too late. Those names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. Read your Bible. You say, that's getting strong. This is the book. We're just talking to you about what the Bible says now. We fell in Adam. And that same nature, that same nature that ignored God's word, that rebelled against God, that disobeyed his word, that same nature in Adam is passed on to us. All Adam's race went to the hog pen that day. And all Adam's race die at the hog pen if they're left to themselves, if they only be Adam's race. But God's children went to the hog pen with Adam too. And they don't die there. They can't die there. They get awful close. They hit rock bottom, as this boy did and as I did. And if you're God's child, you did or will. See, it was unthinkable for a Jew to eat pork. They wouldn't do it. Well, they missed a lot, hadn't they? Let alone work on a hog farm. That would be lower than low for a Jew. But this boy was so desperate. We just read to you that he considered eating what the hogs ate. He's low, so very low. But guess what? He's still his father's son. That didn't change. That didn't change. I can imagine all the neighbors talked about it. That boy will never be back. He's no good. They'll find him somewhere in the ditch, dead. Well, left to himself, he won't be back. But God doesn't leave his children to themselves. That's the blessed thing. Verse 17 says, and when he came to himself. That is, it began to register who he was. And he said, I don't belong here. Now, he never said, I'm better than this. That's what religion does. No. Puffs you up. Makes you good enough to look down on everybody else. No. He never said, I'm better than this. But he said, my Father is better than this. This is not becoming of my family. There's nothing to me, but he's better than this. The Father's love so worked in that boy's heart till he said, I want to be with my Father. I want to be in my Father's house. Now the elder brother was there in body only. He wasn't really there. But this boy said in his heart, I want to really be there. In my heart, I want to be there. I want my very being to be at one with my Father. And this is what happens to all God's elect children somewhere along life's way. In the whole story, this son only has two petitions. The first one was, give me. Give me. I won't. And the father did. He gave him what he wanted. But in time, how much time we don't know. But in time, after bitter experience, his petition changed. And it's no longer, give me. But the next petition, verse 19, make me. I can't be trusted with what you've given me. You reckon he's the only one could ever say that? I can't be trusted with what you've given me. Father, make me. Make me. Make me a hired servant. Put me under a law. Make me earn my bread. Then I can feel good about myself for doing it. It'll do something for my self-esteem. That's what it's all about nowadays, you know. I'll be my own man. I'll make my way. The father didn't answer that petition. He can't be a hired servant. You see, the father's heart is not moved with what you can do. The father's heart is moved with who you are. If you're his son. There's a whole lot of elder brothers in church today, all over this land. But they're there in body only, protecting their interest. But God's children don't want the farm. They want the Father. That's the difference. Next, he began to feel the shame. We see it in this story. After he had made such a mess of his life, he couldn't bring himself to come home and say, Father, it's me. I'm your son. No, he said it'd be easier and more appropriate to say, Father, I'm no more worthy to be your son if I could just be one of the hired servants. But the Father don't permit sons to earn their way. Sons enter the house for who they are, not what they do. Then we note the waiting father in the story. Verse 20. He arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Now the father wasn't sitting on the porch looking down the road every day for just anybody. He wasn't waiting for some stranger to come up and say, "Sir, I'd like to be a part of your family." The preacher said I could make a decision to be your son if I wanted to. No. He's waiting for one that's already his son. Is this clear? But before you'll know if you're that son, he'll have to reach into that hog pen of your heart and bring you to the end of you and put it in your heart to start home. Do you know when a runaway starts home? When there's nowhere else to go, no roof to get under, no bread to be found, not a material roof and physical bread, no, but spiritual. Everybody wants to run to God on their deathbed, but he brings his children to their deathbed, some of us a long time before we die. And I'm glad I've been there. He brings us to see ourselves perishing in our sin. When he was a great way off, verse 20 says, his father saw him. The father saw him before he saw the father. The father sees you this morning. And if he is your father, he'll make you want to be his son. Otherwise, you'll ignore this and every other preacher you'll ever hear until you die in your sins and plunge into hell. That's how it works. Now, this father saw him and had compassion. Had compassion. He never sat on the porch till the boy got there. With his arms crossed, said, "I tried to tell you." No, he had compassion and ran. Our father's older than anybody you've ever seen, but he can still run. Our father can run. He ran and fell on his neck. The boy was already down. Maybe he couldn't go another step. The father ran to him, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And by the way, when the father kissed him on the neck, he never got a whiff of some fresh-smelling cologne. He got a whiff of that hog pen. But the father don't mind. Our father don't care where you've been. He's glad you're home. The father knew where he'd been. He knows where you've been. There were others at the hog pen. And this boy never asked anybody's permission to go home. You don't have to ask anybody. Just start talking to the Father where you are. This boy was talking to his daddy a long time before he got there. Did you see that? He was saying, I'm sorry. I've sinned against heaven. And before you, I've made the biggest mess of my life anybody could possibly make. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Our Father can hear you where you are. And He will hear you if you're interested in getting home. He's not interested in financing your rebellion any further. The Lord gave me that thought in the night, and I'm just going to repeat it to you. He's not interested in financing your rebellion any further. But that's all most folks want. But if you're interested in getting home, our Father's really into that. I read about a man who ministered to wounded soldiers overseas in one of the wars. Time passed. He said he was so weary. He was feeling so unproductive. He tried to share the word of God with many. This didn't seem to be having any effect, but he couldn't quit. I like that. That's where I'm at. That's where I live. He couldn't quit. He felt like he'd said all there was to say. But he said he came up on two Russian soldiers, wounded. And they were at a place, they were being cared for physically. But he felt that he just must speak a word. But he didn't know what. He was so down. He felt nothing he could say would affect these two rough-looking characters. So he said immediately it came into his mind and his heart to read this story. He turned to Luke 15 and read this to those two men. And said when he looked up, both men were in tears. And one of them said, I've never heard that story in all my life. I wonder this morning if you've ever really heard it. I mean really heard it. I read a book this week about runaways, mostly teenagers, and there's really some unbelievable stories. And I think the saddest one I read was about a boy who had run away. And I thought about this boy. And I thought about this boy. He had run away and he'd been gone for a number of years. And he came to his wit's end and he went home. And when he got back to the town and the community, it was after dark. And he knocked on the front door, and the porch light came on. And the man opened the door, and the boy said, it's me. I'm your son. And the man said, I don't have a son, and closed the door. That's sad. I promise you, if our Heavenly Father has put it in your heart to come home, He'll not slam the door in your face. He'll not say, I told you so. He knows all about how beat up you are, how messed up you are. John Newton wrote, the Lord was willing to claim a wretch like me. He found me. He drew me. He changed me. And the father said in verse 22 to his servants, bring forth the best robe. The best robe was the priestly robe. This boy's fixing to take over. After having conquered on the cross, our Lord, having conquered the hog pen of sin, he said just before he ascended, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. This whole business is mine. The best robe. Put a ring on his finger. That was the signet ring. The father's stamp, seal of authority. Put shoes on his feet. Servants didn't wear shoes. Only sons. See if there's any leftovers in the kitchen. No. Kill the fatted calf. That one we've been saving for this special occasion. It's party time. Why? Verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. That's what the party's about. Christ our Lord lived this. He went to the hog pen. He was made sin for us. He went to the hog pen because that's where he finds all his sheep. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. A wretch like me, a wretch like you. If it's ever in your heart to leave the hog pen, it'll be because the Father's love has reached in drawing power from where he is to where you are. Thank God. Thank God. A sinner coming home. Turn in the white book with me, if you will, to 174. 174. We hadn't sung this in a long time. Now, a lot of churches sing this for what they call an invitation. And they're wanting to pull people down to the front, make a spectacle before men. No, we're not doing that. Don't want you to come down here. This is not an altar down here. Our altar's in heaven. No. The only thing here needs to die is right in here. Okay? So right where you are, we want to sing this as a worship song. A worship song. And if it's in your heart this morning, sing it to the Lord that we're coming home. Okay? So we'll try it without music and try to get through this. But look at the words and worship as we sing. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.